With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, there's only two more weeks of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Here are just a few of the must-see shows. So don't miss my good buddy Duruk Jayasinghe and his very funny new show, Victorious Lion. Or Tom Ballard's brilliant show, We Are All In This. Very funny guy. Also book tickets for Sam Torton's hilarious show, Rooster, today. Now, extra shows have been added. This is how good these people are. Jordan Hickey, Lloyd Langford and Zoe Koonsmaa, all friends of the show. Get out and support the friends of the show. Tickets are selling very fast, so the details and tickets, head over to comedy.com.au. That's comedy.com.au. Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to let you know that the Comedy Festival is in full swing. Apparently has been going. We've done two nights now. It's so much fun. Please come out and see the show. It's at 9:30 at the Imperial every night of the remaining of the Comedy Festival, apart from Sundays where it's 8:30. Come along, me and Ben. We're in good form, even though we had a year off. It's fun. We're really good. Also for sale is tickets to the live podcast. So we have two more, one this Sunday at 6 o'clock and one the following Sunday, the 18th at 6 o'clock. Great guests coming on. It's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait for these ones to go up and out. So if you're in Melbourne, head over to joshearl.com.au. Buy up those little tickets. Make me a little happy boy by seeing your smiling faces in sold out rooms. If you're not in Melbourne, you can always support the podcast by becoming a Patreon subscriber. Every week, a brand new episode of Top 5 goes up. This week, I did one with Cameron James. We talked about David Letterman and his best guests. It was a fun one. It does make you want to go down a Letterman rabbit hole on YouTube and just go, all right, here we go. Let's watch all these old clips. So head over to patreon.com/dykwia. $5 a month will get you an extra thing a week and also keeps the lights on so I can do the podcast. If you can't afford those, and I understand that money is tough at the minute, you can always give us 5 stars on iTunes. Talk about the podcast on all your social media platforms. That's always a big help. I'll fave it. I'll retweet it. I have no qualms about self-promotion. I'll do it all the time. Anyway, enough from me. Enjoy this episode recorded live at the European Beer Cafe with Ross Noble, Celia Piccola, Georgie Carroll, and Andrew Wolf. Welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle. If this is your first time listening to the podcast or watching the podcast, what I do every week, I go through the internet and I find other people with my name, and this week I didn't have to, because someone emailed me asking if I was the Josh Earle who wrote the Azerbaijan song for Eurovision, okay? So I replied, no, I'm not, but if you do find out who it is, please let me know, because I'd love to know any information about this guy, because he's not on the internet at all. He's written one song and that is it. And I love the fact that someone was also wasting their time looking for Josh Earls on the internet. It was great. So what I do, I get four very, very funny people every week and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with a geophysicist in Chester, England. Can you please welcome with Ross Noble, everyone? Take your seat, Ross. How you doing, mate?
Hello, hello. Very well, thanks. Yes, I've opted for the short deal with it. Yes. Spent the day building a guinea pig hutch.
A guinea pig hutch?
A guinea pig hutch, yes.
Do you have guinea pigs?
No. Why? Of course, yes. So, yeah, and I kept the shorts on. I thought, hey, why not? Let's go for it.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Look at this guy. He's in shorts in the front row.
Yeah, it's a podcast for people listening, but it's an erotic treat for the ladies.
The sun was out earlier, people. I might take the top off. Who knows? Anyway, also joining us is a person who is the only person in the world who has this name, but when you type her name into Google, the related searches are her name single, her name married, and her name finger ring. Can you please welcome Silly Piccola, everyone?
Hello. Hi. And what's fun about that list, out of all three of them, the only one I haven't been is married. I'm back, baby.
Comedy is back. It feels good. Our next guest is a first-timer to the podcast. She shares her name with a publicist at Walker Books in Sydney. Can you please welcome us, Georgie Carroll, everyone? Yay. Hey, Georgie.
Is that all you get when you Google me?
No, there's heaps. There's so many Georgie Carrolls.
Oh.
I thought, if there's no Georgie Carrolls, I'll get some Georgie Carrolls. Didn't need to.
I'm the real one.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
As in, you reckon you're the oldest one?
No, I just reckon I'm the best one in the... most famous in Australia one.
All right.
Let's have that. Let's have that. I did a streak. That should get me on there.
And finally...
You can't just drop that.
What was that? You did a streak.
I did a streak, but only top half. I don't know if that's a full streak or not. I wore a denim skirt and tits out and stormed. I did it for the hospice, but then spent the money. I'm not a good person.
I bet you don't feel too bad about your shorts now, Ross. Yeah. That's right.
So I got confused there. When you said you did it for the hospice, you mean raising money for the hospice. I thought you meant your outside. There's a load of people dying. Your tits on the window.
Because that'll make sense why you only need top half, because the windows only goes that far.
Yeah. I'm somebody's make-a-wish. And when you...
And finally... is a guest who shares their name with a retired Olympic figure skater from Canada. Can you please welcome us, Andrew Wolfe, everyone? Yay! Yes. Hey, Wolfie.
I'm surprised anything came up, man. I Google my name all the time. There's no response.
Andrew Wolfe, he's also a commentator now.
Well, there you go. Fuck, we've done something. Finally.
You have a streak for a hospice?
What's this?
Okay. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to get cracking because some people have shows to go to. So here, this is our first game. Our first game today is called You Can Quote Me On That. Now, in this round, I'll read out quotes from the four of you. It could be from Instagram, it could be from Twitter, it could just be from an interview you did, okay? Yeah. If you think you know who said this, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right.
Okay.
If you're wrong, the person who actually said it, they get the point. So you don't lose any points, so don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Okay. Names your buzzers. Can't buzz in for your own ones. First one, this. Refrigerator beeping like I'm taking too long. Sorry, mate. Didn't realise you had another fucking appointment in your busy schedule of just standing there.
Georgie.
Yes, Georgie.
Wolfie.
You are correct. That was Wolfie, yeah.
There you go.
Got to laugh.
I've said something funny. Job done.
He was in Perth. He didn't even get a lockdown and he's still writing about his fridge.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Just did a drunk physio session, fucking smashed it.
Ross.
Yes, Ross.
Is that him again?
No, it's not Wolfie again. It's Georgie Carroll here.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
If I'm going to do something that boring, I've got to be pissed. Just do that very slowly, turn, fuck off.
What is it? Sore back? Is that where you got to go?
No, mentally I'm an Olympian. Physically I am fucked. So, knee replacements, a torn rotator cuff. All the things. I know, but still, fucking.
Still the best Georgie Carroll.
Still the best Georgie Carroll.
A bit broken, but the best fucking one.
According to that hospice, the best the Georgie best. Carroll, yeah. Because you're a nurse as well.
Yeah, you'd think we'd look after ourselves.
What do you know about frenulums?
Okay, this is clearly a podcast in-joke.
Yeah, it's an in-joke. We won't go into it. It's been too many weeks.
Go on, what are they if you know?
It's healing now.
Oh, it's yours.
I got a couple of stitches in my penis right now, people. Right now.
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, fuck.
That's fantastic.
Afterwards, I've got to wait 6 weeks before I can use it again.
What, like, at all? You allowed to...
You must be busting.
Yeah. God.
Come see me on the last weekend of this festival.
Are you allowed to sort of, like... Are you allowed to go on, like a training run before you go into combat, so to speak?
Build up.
They said I'm not allowed to, But I reckon by week four, like, a slight breeze might set it off. I don't know, like...
Because I had an issue, I had a catheter put in, ooh, right? And then you sort of wake up in the night, you know, when things happen, and you, ooh, hello. And then the catheter was in, and I went, oh. And they didn't say yes or no, you can have a tinker. And I thought, wonder what would happen.
And what does happen? Does it come out the size of the tube? Or, I've always wondered.
It's like,
because everything hooks up in there, and the wee and the sperm come out the same hole. But if you've got a catheter for the pee, does the sperm come out the outside?
You know what? It's like, it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see in nature.
Do you know those sprinklers are like?
Have you seen, you know the fountains at Crown? Have you been down there? It's wonderful. Oh. You're welcome.
Funny, innit? There's no woman operation where you get to wank afterwards to see if it still works.
Every single one. every operation. Oh, my rotator cuff's gone. Oh, I wonder if I could. Oh, my wrist. Oh, my wrist. I broke my wrist. I've got a metal wrist in there. And similar thing. Doctor didn't see it, but you know, I'm not going lefty. Just for the. It's not. I'm not doing it.
No, have a holiday. Treat yourself. Go left. All right, next question. If it's in the head, it comes out the mouth.
Oh. I feel, Georgie, it's Ross Noble, but I don't think you're on your socials. I don't think you're a social.
Oh, glad you're following me.
Yeah. are you going to say Ross?
Yeah.
You are correct. It was Ross Noble, yes.
There you go.
And ironically, that's what happened the first time I tried with a catheter. It was in the head. It came out the mouth. He'd rigged it up all wrong.
But when you wrote that, you meant thoughts, right? Yeah. Because otherwise that is not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just checking that you didn't know that if you put like a stick in your ear, it's not going to come out your mouth. You seem to hurt yourself quite a bit. So yeah. I'm just trying.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Next question. Partner just asked, how far a dick has to go down a giraffe's neck before it's considered a deep throat?
Oh, my God. Georgie, that's got to be Georgie.
You are correct, Wolfie. That's Georgie, yes.
That's my son, not my partner.
Oh, your son?
My son wanted to know.
Well, you tweeted it was your husband.
No, my husband don't think about anything but cricket. That was my 16-year-old.
Oh, my God.
That was my 16-year-old.
If a cricket bat goes down a giraffe's throat, how long till it's...
Yeah. So I don't think we got an answer.
Well, you did follow it up with something about if it goes past the gag reflex and they don't react, then that's a deep throat.
You've got to teach these children.
I don't know what's happened to this show, Josh.
It's not this kind of show.
The giraffe, by the way, has the most powerful heart in the animal kingdom. That is absolutely true. Because to get the blood up to the head, it's got to really push it up there. You've got very powerful hearts, giraffes, and that's why they love so hard.
They're also quite good in floods because their head is higher ground.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's no mistake. Whenever you see a Bible story of Noah, giraffes are always the first ones on. Come on, Max.
Next question. I can't believe people make buildings.
Celia, I think.
Wolfie, you are correct. It was Celia, yeah. Put there for Andrew.
How?
Yeah.
How do they do it? It looks really hard. Like, I get a brick. And I get maybe two bricks, but then I'm lost. How could you sleep at night? How did this happen? You know?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, ethically. How can people make buildings? When there's so many buildings in the world, it's overcrowded. How can you make it?
How did they make that?
I get you. It's a lot to commit to, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
If you think of the amount of thought you put into getting a haircut and then to decide that this building is going to last forever.
I wouldn't sleep. I'd be like, what if I didn't tighten a thing enough and the chandelier is going to crush 1,000 people? Like, it blows my mind.
Are there any engineers in the room? No, they never go out. Okay.
So it's not just me. I mean, internet. How? Anyway.
Yeah, the internet. The internet's a big one. Like, how does that work?
How?
Goes up to space and comes to my phone.
This is how stupid I am. I'm aware of who I am. But, Like, I can't have the PowerPoint plug turned on without anything plugged into it because I'm worried the room will fill with electricity. And I know that's not how it works, but I don't know that that's not how it works.
All right, next question. Comedy should be judged by the type of laughs you receive. A giggle is worth 2 points, a snort, 5, beer out the nose, 50 points.
Don't know. Hopefully none of us, to be honest. Yeah. Didn't get a laugh.
Ross.
Yes, Ross.
Was it Celia?
You are correct. Yeah, point for Ross.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, what's that? That's terrible.
Well, at least you can dance.
I have no memory. This is the thing. I haven't been on socials for fucking ages, so this is why you've had to go.
It was from the Australian newspaper. You said it in a quote.
Yeah. Well, then... Yeah, I say a lot of things.
It wasn't a tweet. There was a lot around it.
But still...
You're right about the beer up there. Beer out the nose, that's always my benchmark.
Is it?
Oh, I love it. I was just going to say, there was one time, a woman like this, right, she's like, she's going like that. And she laughed, and it come and it come out of her nose. It went into her beer, and she went, and it went right back in. It's like it never happened, but she was like, oh, well. Job is done. It's like when someone's having an asthma attack. You know when someone's having an asthma attack in the front row at the show and you think, oh, that'd be terrible if they died, but... It'd be a cool story.
It'd be a show.
Good publicity, yeah. Next question. Put a mask on so we only have to look at half of your stupid face.
Celia.
Yes, Celia.
Georgie.
No, that was Ross Noble there. Put it for Ross.
Good.
Fair. Anyone's stupid face in particular, or just everyone?
Just everyone. just everyone's stupid face. No, you know, with that mask thing, and people going, I shouldn't wear a mask because it's my human right. Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If it was me, I would have insisted masks and clown hats. Do you know what I mean?
Just a teacher.
And then everyone would have been going, I'm not wearing a clown hat. You're all right, just wear the mask then. Do you know what I mean? Come on, Dan, lift your game. That's what I say.
Question 8. There is a special place in hell for me, and honestly, I can't wait to finally receive some VIP treatment.
Georgie.
Yes, Georgie. Wolfie. You are correct. Another point there for Georgie, yes.
I follow him on his socials.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks, man. You're one of few people, so I appreciate that, Georgie.
What's the worst thing you've done, Wolfie? Why are you going to hell?
What do you mean? Mate, there's a big list. Hey. We can't get started now. What have I done wrong?
Yeah.
Fuck, even a mask. I didn't know where to wear one in Melbourne. I was like, why is the Uber driver treating me like shit? I was like, he's a bit shirty. And he was like, yeah, man, where the fuck's your mask? So, yeah, it's not a good start. So put that on the list. That's list one. Put me in a clown hat.
Question 9. If you had a genie who was a real jerk and gave you a third arm, where would you put it?
Celia?
Yes, Celia.
That sounds like Luke McGregor, but he's not here. So, Ross?
Well, no, it was you, you dipshit.
Yeah, that's so good.
Well done.
But,
yeah.
But weirdly, as you said that, I went, well, that's got to be me.
That makes sense because I've definitely had that conversation with Luke McGregor.
Well, you were talking about Luke and you said the type of stuff you say is this. Yeah! And so, yeah, there you go.
Yay!
So,
where's it going? Where's this the...
Yeah, where'd you put it?
I can't remember. This is all we do is have conversations. Like, if you had to have an extra dick somewhere in your body, where would you put it? Would you rather have a dick on your head or a vagina? Or vaginas up and down your arms? Stuff like that.
I'd have it on the end of my actual... You're
an extra arm. For me, because this is such a single thing, just somewhere so I could do my own dress up.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good, just on the back of your neck.
Yeah. So it'd be up the back of my neck.
Yeah. Oh, arm. I thought you were talking about cocks again.
No.
I thought you'd have to put a cock ring on the end of the cock on your back and then tie it to the zip and then just like, get yourself aroused and then once it's up, you just... Oh, my zip's
off. Yeah. I don't care how it gets up. I'm not looking back there. Just it's embarrassing having a knock on a neighbour's door going, hello, I don't have anyone. Oh, it got real.
Yeah, it did.
How about you guys? Where do you have a...
Well, I barely use my two at the moment, so I don't need a third. Too lazy. So, yeah.
So you'd have one taken off then?
Yeah, I'd take one off.
I would have it down the inside of my leg so I don't have to bend over to pick stuff up.
Oh, that's good. No, tie the laces.
Yeah, especially when you got kids and you're always forever picking stuff up for them. It'd be like, oh, that could just pick up stuff off the floor.
Yeah.
I've always wanted hands, little hands here and here to save on belts. Do you know what I mean? Because the money you'd save, you'd just like... And I've also, the other thing I've always wanted as well is like if I had like plastic surgery, I'd have like one eye, right? Like I don't know how you do this. You like inject it with like optic fluid or something. I'd have that eye made just a bit bigger. So like when you're talking to someone boring, it looks like you're sort of listening intently because of the perspective. It looks like you're going, oh yeah, but you're not. You're just like that. Clever.
And our final question for the round, just paid two private investigators to investigate each other. Game on.
I don't know what's real anymore. Cecilia.
Yes, Celia.
Andrew?
You are correct. Yes, we're Cecilia.
I'm doing well with written stuff at the moment, so that's going well.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Celia. You're on 1 point.
Yay. Thank you.
Give it up for Celia. Ross Noble is on 2 points. Oh. Andrew Wolf also on 2 points, but in the lead on 4 points. It's Georgie Carroll.
Well done, Georgie.
All right, this round is called 9 to 5, What a Way to Make a Living. Now, Wolfie's first day as an accountant was a memorable one. Now, Wolfie is an accountant, for those who don't know. It was memorable mainly because he did not want to be there. But what did he do on that first day that warrants us talking about it right now? Was it A, he thought he would treat it like a prison and just go in and out-alpha the alpha? On his first day, he took an early lunch, came back boozed up, and quickly became his boss's favourite. This annoyed Wolfie because he wanted to get fired. Okay, that's A. B, his boss showed him his office, and Wolfie swung his briefcase onto the desk and it immediately knocked off the monitor. The monitor broke, and they didn't have another one, so Wolfie had to get the bus home, get his own monitor, and take it back to work. Or C, Wolfie's mum dropped him off, and before he went, he ate his sandwich in the car park... while he cried because he did not want to be an accountant. Now, one of these is a real thing. Now, you have to ask him questions, try and get the real one out of him, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point. You don't have to answer together. You can answer individually. The floor is open for questions.
I'm very interested into the idea of alphaing your boss on your first day as an accountant. Like, do you just walk in and just smack the calculator out of his hand?
Yeah, mate, I did a calculation and outperformed him. I was like...
Right, but... You were like, you tested him with a
well, we had that green pen in there and we sort of, moved with that. But, I made a first move on the guy with... The
like a physical move? How did you try and alpha him?
Well, I just calculated him on an audit.
and he loved it.
I said, I see your spreadsheet and I raise you this. And I had, like, better calculations.
Well, that one's not true.
Yeah, that's why. I'm no good at lying. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to show it up. That one's eliminated, okay?
I didn't know what... Wolfie, that's not for you to say. It's for me, okay?
I don't know what's going on.
Don't take my job off me. It's all I've got.
Okay, well, that still could be possible, okay? Back out. I got nervous. I jumped at it. I'm sorry. It's all right. Yeah, I did alpha.
Okay, you've got 2 seconds to answer.
Okay, what? Quick.
What was the sandwich?
It was a ham with that sprouts. Do you know that cell?
Alfalfa.
Alfalfa. Yeah. Alfalfa. My mum made it for me. I don't like it.
How old were you that your mum was making
Well, that
sandwiches?
Was the saddest part of the story, that my mum was driving me to my first day at work. I think I was 22, so it was pretty fucking bad. Should have got the bus.
So why did, like, you didn't want to be an accountant, but don't you have to have, like, a course to do that? You couldn't just...
Yeah, I had done a course, but I'm not good with numbers. I'm just really bad at saying no to my parents. So I ended up with a fucking career. Yeah, so that was day one. It was horrible. I actually went into the office and then, broke down and realised. But to be honest, it took me 20 years to quit it, so fuck. I'm a slow learner.
How much of other people's money have you got at the moment for your podcast?
How much money have I got invested with me?
No, that your podcast where you take people's super and make them more money. How much have people...
Well, it depends because it drops every day, so... It's hard to keep track of it.
People give him their super and he just... fucks it up. And
well, but yeah. It's not always their super, surely.
It's mainly their super. Mate, it was very bad, this sandwich, though, because I did it in the car park, ducked down behind one of the cars. So, yeah, I've not had a good life, guys. So.
How did you get the job in the first place?
Well, it turned out I was qualified. Like, I went to uni. Yeah, I was qualified as an accountant. So I'd done the course.
So when you went in, you impressed them?
I started as an accountant and then became a stockbroker later on. She jumped into a different section.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. So just to let any of you guys know, if you're looking to invest your super, I'll be chatting to you at the end of the show.
No, I think it's probably that. Because the other one is you smashed a computer.
Smashed the monitor.
Who had a briefcase? You know, I don't work in office.
Well, you had to keep the sandwiches somewhere.
You'd already eaten it in the car, though.
Yeah. What was in your briefcase?
Just the sandwich.
I think sandwich. I'm going sandwich.
You're all going sandwich, Ross? You're going to go sandwich as well?
Yeah.
Well, what about that alpha one? That was all right.
Wolfie,
give me a break.
Wolfie, you could be the worst player of this game in the history of the game. It was sandwich. So a point there for everyone apart from Wolfie. Yeah.
So I'm too honest. That's why you should trust me with your superannuation, guys.
So was there any ever point of you in... you're in the car park. It's like, what, 9 o'clock in the morning?
It was 9 o'clock. I hid behind a car and I was crying. And to be honest, that's the fucking happiest I ever was in accounting at that moment. It was pretty much downhill from there, but yeah.
So why didn't you just not go in?
Well, I'm a people pleaser and I've lived a horrible life, okay? Yeah, I don't know, man. I just couldn't... I don't know. I was committed. I had the hex debt to pay off, you know what I mean?
Have you ever had a desk job, Ross? Okay. Yeah, no,
I
just...
I have never had a job. No, I genuinely have never had a job. I spent 3 days in a department store where I...
But you were just lost.
What?
You were just lost. You were just lost.
Yes, that's right. Sorry. I thought you said Ewan from Lost. I went, which character was that on the island? There was a... You know where at Christmas time where they have the novelty items? I had a job selling juggling kits. Where I would demonstrate juggling kits and then go, would you like a juggling kit? So that was a job. And then I handed out flyers at an American diner on stilts. So they're all kind of circus related. Yeah. So no, I've never had an action. So do look out for me on the upcoming series of Celebrity Apprentice. Oh. I'm not bullshitting. No, I've genuinely done Celebrity Apprentice.
Well.
How good do you think I am at business? Yeah.
So I cannot wait.
I would genuinely tune in quickly. Yeah. Never had a job. It's fantastic. Literally, you go in there and there's a billionaire and he's like, right, you're all competing to be the apprentice. Right. And I'm literally going, shut up. And I was literally going, ooh, this is fun. Look, there's a boss sitting up there. Ooh, we've all got business things to do. Yeah.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are, Ross, you're on 2 points.
Oh, lovely.
Celia, you're on 2 points.
Thank you.
Wolfie, you're still on 3 points, but in the lead on 5 points is Georgie Carroll.
Yes, Georgie. Well done.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you'll say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you'll say nah. You can ask them as many questions as you want, but bear in mind they want you to get it incorrect so they get the point. So here we go. First one.
Can you not ask me questions?
Well, Wolfie...
Yeah, do someone else first. I didn't.
Well, Wolfie, I'll do it how it's written.
You don't get this on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, do you? Just go, all right, we're going to go for $500. Can we do another 100? Just to get into it.
All right, now to Wolfie. Now, Ross got tipped off that a UK actor... very, very reputable, was rude to a waitstaff in a cafe. So for a TV show, Ross recreated the scene by wearing a professionally made mask of this actor. While they were filming, the actor just happened to walk by down that street. So Ross and a film crew chased her down the street. Without knowing any context, witnesses saw a 70-year-old woman being chased down the road by a man wearing a mask of this woman's face. You can ask him questions.
This sounds very like something Ross might do, to be honest. I am... Why? How far did you chase her for?
Oh, about, I don't know, like 20 metres, 25 metres.
Yeah, I suppose she's 72.
She's an old woman. She's not shifting.
And what was... So you looked exactly like her and then chased after her?
No, well, there was a tattoo parlour upstairs from the cafe. So I went up to the tattoo parlour and said, you're all good at drawing.
Yeah.
Can you draw a picture of this actress? And then the guy drew the picture, and then I cut the picture out, and I was wearing her face, and then she walked past the back of the cafe.
Yep.
And the whole crew went, she's there! And we and I didn't know what was happening, and then we all chased her down the street.
Yep. So why'd you chase her?
Because if you're wearing someone's face and you're reenacting something that's happened and that person walks
through...
Yeah,
that is good.
If somebody walks through the reenactment and you're making a TV show and you go, we're doing a reenactment and the real person's behind us, why wouldn't you get...
That is good.
You see what I'm saying?
But what would you have done if when you catch it? Like, what's the plan?
Then go release her in the wild.
Catch and release.
To confront her over what was I there for?
They were rude to a waitstaff.
Oh yeah, to make her to basically say why were you rude to this guy that we're reenacting you being rude to? Why were you rude?
Fuck, man. What was this show, man? What TV show?
It was called Ross Noble Freewheeling. It was called.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I've heard enough. I'm out. No.
No?
You're going to say no? Nah. You are incorrect, Wolfie. That is a true story.
Oh! Yay!
Who was it?
Well played,
Ross. Who was it?
It was the popular actress Leslie Joseph, known for her as the neighbour on Birds of a Feather.
Oh! And, yeah. I do know her. Doreen?
Yeah.
So everyone knows Birds of a Feather in this country because it was the show on before The Late Show.
Yeah. And near the bill. Yeah, oh my God.
So what's happened is, so I chased her down the street. And she was appearing in the theatre next door. We went to reenact it. She's walking, and everyone, fuck, she's there! And the whole crew had already chased after her. I went, I suppose we're chasing her. And then we accosted her, and we went, Leslie, I just wanted to... And I had the picture of her, and I said, oh, can I give you this? And she was like, what's going on? I went, do you want to come and speak to Rick about the guy that you he had a bit of a thing with? And she was like, oh, no. And then so we put it out on the telly, and then I felt a bit bad about it. And then about... A few years later, I get a phone call. I'd been cast in a musical. Who's the other cast members? Oh, Leslie Joseph. Oh, fuck. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, she's not going to like me. And we're going to do 8 shows a week together. And anyway, turned up, cleared the air. Everything was fine. Now, great mates.
Yay!
So, hurrah. She's an absolute legend.
I was not expecting to hear a Birds of a Feather reference tonight. Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
There you go.
Now, if this was a real TV show, this one right now, at the end of the show, Leslie Joseph would come out wearing a Ross Noble mask, and that's how we'd end the show.
Yeah.
Right. To Ross. Now, when Celia... was down in Hobart. She was getting a lift to an event when the driver making small talk declared that the roundabout that they were driving around had just won the world's best roundabout award. Celia thought the guy was making a joke and laughed, and then the man got offended and his state pride took over. Celia then listened quietly while the guy went on a 10-minute rant about how great Tasmanian roundabouts are. Yeah or nah? Into the mic.
Why we... why were you down there?
I am off in Tasmania. I make a show called Rose Heaven. I've just got back from filming season 5.
Yes.
With Luke McGregor. So this was a few years ago, so probably season 3. So I spend like 3 months of the year down there.
Whereabouts was this roundabout?
Hobart. I can tell you exactly where it is. Yes. It's in the middle of, well, city. It's a strong word. It's near the ABC building.
Okay.
It's quite large and it is entirely unremarkable.
Is it within a quince spread on a cracker throwing distance from the Salamanca markets?
No.
Okay.
Depends how far you can throw a quince spread on a cracker, to be fair. But no. Near there. I mean, it'd be a 15-minute walk from there.
Okay.
I love whether your questioning is that if there is a roundabout in Hobart so far.
No, because I've been there many times and I don't remember.
You've never seen it. Well, Evie, if you had seen it, you would not think that's the best roundabout in the world.
I don't remember. And so what did he say? What was he
saying? He said, did you know this roundabout has won the best roundabout in the world? Or it's won like a gold medal at the roundabout, the World Roundabout Awards.
Oh, well, that's different. That's different. The best roundabout in the world or highly placed in the roundabout.
I can't remember, but it won an award for being a good roundabout worldwide at the Roundabout Olympics. I don't know. And I went, ha, 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 of course it has, and so is the traffic lights. And then he cracked it because it really has.
And what was his... And when he cracked it, what was the fallout from the cracking?
He was like, no one pays attention. Look at the detail of it. You know, people think it's just a functional thing, but it's also functional and beautiful. And, you know, people worked hard to make that. And, you know, and he's an engineer. This is why I don't... Right. I was like, but how did they build it?
I know this roundabout you're talking about. And I must say, it's not a good... Because it's got something in the middle of it, so you can't see across it. So I like to be able to see what the other cars are doing on the other side, just in case. But it's blocked.
Oh,
so,
I know what's in the middle of that. It's a big sign that says, best roundabout in the world ever. And as soon as it wins, then the next year, it comes last because you can't see across it. It's a fickle world, the roundabout Olympics.
Oh, yeah. So you can go under it, but yeah, he was real shirty because he I did not take the roundabout seriously.
Right.
What do you think, Ross? Yeah or nah?
I'm going to say yeah.
You are incorrect. That is not a true story.
Good
lion.
It's tricky.
It's based on a true story, though.
The roundabout is there, but I didn't get into a fight with anyone about it. But it is also... it's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
But I think Tasmanian people are the most proud of their state out of anyone. What, you don't think? Are you Tasmanian?
Yeah, but I've got a tattoo.
See? Exactly.
See? You know the roundabout?
I'm from Launceston, so we paint right
now. Yeah.
It's so funny. Can I tell you? So we were down filming there we've been there for 2 months. So it's like 8 weeks of filming. This is how showbiz is. In Hollywood, you know, there's like these big dramas. There's on set, you know, budget going over. There's explosions and stuff. The biggest drama that had it on our set, Luke McGregor got stung by a wasp. That's it. It was huge news.
Because I thought Tasmania eradicated their wasps because they introduced bumblebees. Like, proper, these are not, you know, when you tell kids, oh, it's a bumblebee. There's actually a species called a bumblebee. Yeah, the fluffy ones. And they eat.
The guy from Tasmania is giving the big no. You're out.
You are Josh, full of shit, okay? That tattoo, I'm going to pay for it to be removed.
Hang on, wait. Ready? Wait. Chicken feed is all you need because a little goes a long, long way. Yeah, there you go. Yes. He's official.
That is bad.
Everybody, chicken feed is all you need. Because a little goes a long, long way. Cheap, 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 cheap.
That's amazing. Yeah,
but it's gone now. And then the tagline is, don't you just love them? See, all right, whatever.
It's gone.
Wow.
Lived there for 22 right, fucking years, but everyone forgets.
Just want to check.
That's fantastic. Yes, can confirm wasps.
Where do you stand on shiploads?
Oh.
Swinging a miss. There you go. No one has any idea what we're talking about.
My parents are going to love this chat in the pod, though. That's good. All right, so I'll point there for Celia.
Thank you.
But the bumblebees are true. Okay. All right, to Georgie. Now, Wolfie here, he has a very curious mind. And one day, wanted to know how those self-cleaning public toilets actually clean themselves. So... he packed a bag of spare clothes and just stayed in one. He needn't have bothered packing clothes, though, as all it was it flushed on its own and then a metal bar came out over the top of the bowl and just pushed off any excess that would have been left on top. This horrified Wolfie, mainly because he thought the floor and those things were wet due to cleaning, not human piss. Yeah or nah?
I absolutely, so I'm not committing to it yet, I absolutely believe you would just hang out in a toilet all day. I don't believe you'd pack clothes. that's the bit I'm struggling with, that you would be organised enough to just think, oh, a bit of forward planning. Put it this way, you ate your lunch before you started work on the first day. You're not a planner. So, and then this metal thing, how does it work? Like, because you're just saying a metal thing. Metal doesn't shrink, so then it'd just be the size of the bowl.
It lowers from around the side, from what I... There was a lot of water going on, but I felt it slowly lowers down. Around. It's a loop. I didn't pack the clothes. My ex packed the clothes for me. I'd been kicked out.
She sent you the public toilets.
You're just living in a toilet now.
I now live in a toilet, guys. So.
No, I don't think so, because like, Japanese toilets clean themselves.
No, look, what do you mean? Like, the whole thing comes around, like, you know, like a car wash? It's all on the outside. Do you know, and it lowers down. And
yeah, but that would be a bristle thing. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. I reckon it's a no.
You, Georgie, are correct. It is a no. Oh, point there for Georgie. But, so, I was curious about how they clean themselves.
Yeah.
So I YouTubed it. And what happens is it really just flushes and then a little arm from the back of the toilet comes out and just wipes off any excess a few times and a blue light's there. So
that's
it's
where
kind of
I put
it.
My spare arm.
And then it just goes back in and that's how it works. And I was like, oh, because every time I'm in one of those, the floor is wet. So I thought it was, it's just like a car wash, it just wets everything and then dries. But no, that's just people pissing in there.
Well, it wasn't like that when I went in there, to be honest.
All right, so... Point there for Georgie. Now, to Celia.
Yep.
When Georgie's dad remarried, the woman that he married had a secret. Georgie knew the secret, but her father did not. The secret was this woman worked in a dungeon as a dominatrix. Yeah or nah?
How did you know that?
Okay, so I know this because my best mate, because this wife was about the same age as me and my mates, right? So my dad.
Oh, okay.
So this is second wife.
Okay.
He's had three, so this is second wife.
Yep.
She loved Halloween.
I mean, greedy. Some of us haven't had one. Whatever. Go on.
I'm sure my dad would marry you if he wanted. He loves getting married. And so she loved Halloween, and my dad, I was quite rich growing up, we lived in a mansion, and we had a big Halloween party, and when we were there, she asked my mate, who was hot, like I was a funny one, my mate was a hot one, she asked my mate if she'd work in the dungeon. So I just thought, and then I just, that's how I knew she worked in a dungeon. It was called the Dungeon of Correction Manchester, you can still Google it.
Manchester. It's weird because over here in Manchester, it means the sheets.
Just rubbish sheets in this one.
Sheets and
you call that a hospital corner.
The dungeon of Manchester, the den of haberdashery.
I'll punch you in the balls and I'll tuck you in.
And then my dad, like, I didn't know he was getting married. I was on holiday and he said, when are you and Steve back, my husband? And I said, next week. He said, oh, I'm getting married. I was like, who to? And it was Tina. A.K.A. Lady Arabella.
Oh, I wish you'd stayed, Tina.
Yeah, so, and then it just never came up in conversation. It was just like my dad was married to her for about 2 years, which is what we all put a bet on would happen.
Right.
And about 2 years, and then when they came out the other side, this is how I know my dad didn't know, I'd moved to Australia, and my brother Skyped me, that's how we used to chat, and then he said, open up another window, type in Dungeon of Correction Manchester, there's your mum.
We've all heard that. If you don't know, that's a put down in the UK. Dungeon of Correction, that's your mum.
Your brother was doing that. That's how your brother did
it. I was the only, me and my mate Katie Bamber were the only ones who knew she was a dominatrix. I thought that's why I'd married her. Like, wow. I didn't know that he didn't know.
Oh my God.
So did he find out?
Only because he had an investigator on her.
He did on the wedding night.
And technically she'd not cheated because she just tied elastic bands around balls and things. She never sat on one. She never took her clothes off. She just did purple wands and things like that. So I knew, me and Katie knew and no one else knew. And I still don't know if Katie worked in the dungeon or not.
Wow. My God, I just love all of this. Let's hang out. I would love that. I'm going to say it's true because of many reasons, but mainly because you said Katie Bamber. You know when you use someone's full name, you're like, that's a real person.
Katie Bamber.
Now, please. If that was a lie, Georgie is the greatest liar on the game. It was.
On the game?
It was just
there.
A streak.
She didn't work there.
No,
but
Katie
it was a true
Bamber.
Story.
Yes. That is awesome. Yes, yes. Yeah. Tina from the Dungeon of Correction
in Manchester.
New
mom.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, she was cool.
My goodness.
Katie Bamber.
Katie Bamber.
Did she? Oh, it would be great if she had a sister.
Oh,
called,
she's a mess now.
If
she's
she had a sister called Lila. Lila, Lila, Lila Bamber.
At the end of that round, the scores are Ross, you're on 3 points. Ooh, Wolfie's on 3 points. Celia on 4 points. In the West on 6 points. It's Georgia Carroll. Right. We have one more round. It's called Hoo-Hoo. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you four. If you think you know who it's about, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get right. A point off if you get wrong. Only round you can lose points. Here we go. You can't buzz in for your own ones. Here we go. Whose tips to make it in life are don't be drunk, maybe wear some clothes?
Ross, Celia.
Yes, you are correct. It was Celia, yes.
Is it genuinely no... Well, I'm half doing that. And then I've got clothes on. Good.
That's good. That's good. Sick. And in lockdown, it really didn't happen. Neither of those mattered.
What is?
I've forgotten the rules already.
Yeah, I'm guessing who it is.
This is the first round again. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not... It's anyway.
Yeah.
Right. You'll get it. Okay, next question. Who here as a child had a real fondness for Phil Collins?
Celia.
Yes, Celia.
Georgie?
You are correct. Yes, it was Georgie Carroll.
He was my first crush. I used to kiss Phil my pillow Collins. Thinking of... That's what? Where my self-esteem was at.
Was it... Was it
Could
because
you,
you it? Liked him in the film Buster?
I did watch that film a lot.
Yeah, the great
I just
robber.
Wanted somebody who'd be grateful. I think that... That's where my self-esteem was.
Cut to hospice. Hey!
All right, next question. Whose friend at uni sat an exam still drunk after a 3-day bender and still beat this person's score on the exam?
Georgie Wolfie.
You are correct. Yes, it was Wolfie, yes.
That was the accounting exam. That ended up working.
Next question. Who as a kid used to jump off walls into a pile of cardboard boxes for fun?
Andrew Roth.
You are correct. Yes, it was Ross.
No, I wasn't for fun. It was because I wanted to be a stuntman and I was training.
Would you ever do it now?
We'll move these seats.
Now, did you ever attempt it? Like in your younger days, like 16, 17, when you were doing all your circus stuff, were you going to stunt work?
Yeah, no, I was genuinely, I got it, I stole a crash mat that was in the bins at school and we put it on the street and we had a caravan, we'd pile up boxes and then we'd jump off and then my dad was fine with that because he'd look out the window and he'd see me disappearing off the roof, that was fine. It was when we set fire to the boxes, he went, you've gone too far. too far.
Who here used to be a massive liar, but when they turned 21, they just stopped cold turkey?
Celia?
Yes, Celia.
Was it me?
No, it was Georgie Carroll. Hey! Point off, Celia. Yay!
I can't remember.
What did you used to lie about?
Oh, always dreadful, like, traumatic ones. You're like, Mum would go, do you have a nice time at the cinema? And I'd be like, yeah, till someone got stabbed. Like, it was, like, full on just drama the whole fucking time. Yeah, just dreadful. And then my cousin called me out for it at 21. She was like, yeah. I came out as a lesbian at my brother's 21st and I wasn't. Like... And it was a proper, like... Full on, like, everybody, I'm with someone now. They're like, okay, it's a girl. It was like that guy was so fucked. I don't know what happened, but it was just... And then at 21, just stopped.
Who here hates bananas? Who hates bananas? Hates them.
Oh, who could have it? Georgie Wolfie.
No, it was Celia.
She knows. You knew. It's well documented. It's the only reason I don't have kids. Because they always have to eat bananas.
Or monkeys.
Yeah.
It's true.
Why is it... sorry if it's well documented, yeah. But why...
I hate them. I can't stand the smell, the texture. They're revolting. I hate them. Gross.
The smell... And the texture?
And the texture, everything. One time Luke McGregor ate one in my car and I almost ran off the road.
Oh.
I hate them.
I quite like bananas, but whenever I eat them, I don't know if this is a thing, I go... It's not a gag.
It's
I don't go, ooh. I go... Like a dolphin. Like the potassium brings out some latent dolphin. I go... Or a Geiger counter.
Right. I don't know. I know how good... It's very frustrating for me because I know how good they are for you, but I hate them. And apparently they turn you into dolphins. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yeah. Or I'm detecting radiation.
What about the lolly bananas? Do you like a lolly banana?
Lolly banana's fine. Banana cake, fine. I know. I'm so complex.
Next question. Who here believes that IKEA should have drive-thru for their hot dogs?
All of us?
Yeah. Well, this person's got it on record.
It's a good idea.
This person's got it on record.
Georgie Celia.
No, it was Andrew Wolf off of Georgia. Oh.
Definitely. They're better than the Bunnings hot dogs. I'll go out there and say it on record. There, you heard it first.
Hang on.
They've turned.
Can I just establish...
For the listeners, that was the sound of middle class right there.
They're a dollar cheaper.
And that's the sound of working class. Okay, we got it.
Do the proceeds go to charity, though, at IKEA? Because is this about...
Do they Bunnings ones? Yeah, they do.
Of course you do. You hate the Sea Scout. You hate them.
Hey, man, I take my sausages very seriously, so...
Next question. Who here is obsessed with Frank Walker of National Tiles?
Celia.
Yes, Celia.
Ooh. Ross.
Yes, you are correct, Celia. Ah! Yes.
Yes. Hello, Frank Walker, National Tiles. Timber and laminate flooring. Frank Walker, National Tiles. I am so obsessed with it, I know where his house is. I know.
You're going to go around there with a mask.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm the ghost of your future, past and present. Hello. Who is that? It's you, Frank Walker. National Tour. The thing about going into Frank Walker's house is, when you go into Frank Walker's house, right, you can't creep. There's no carpet. There's no carpet. It's timber. It's laminate. Don't wear your tap shoes. That's all I'm saying.
Next question. Who here used to wash car windows in supermarket car parks and then just spend all the money on ice creams? And I should say they were
Ross,
an adult when they did this.
The Wolf.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, it was. Andrew Wolf.
Did you say The Wolf? That's cool.
Yeah, the Wolf.
That was cool. That feel good?
Yeah, that did actually feel very good. Yeah.
It felt good going past me. That was good.
Thanks, The Noble.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Oh, no.
And our last question for this entire podcast. Who here once researched eating snails as they believed that it may be important in later in life if things don't work out?
Celia.
Yes, Celia.
Georgie?
No, it was Ross Noble.
God damn. Sorry.
Yeah.
Why would that, if things don't, you want to eat snails?
According to The Guardian, you said that. So I just put it
fucking
in.
Fucking Guardian. Fucking Guardian. You know, fuck all.
Let's go back to the first round. If it's in the head, it comes out the mouth. Okay. Yeah. All right, at the end of the game, the scores are, in second place, we have a three-way tie with Wolfie, Celia and Ross all on 4 points. Our winner on 6 points, it's Georgie Carroll. Hey, Georgie, because you win, you can plug whatever you want to plug. What shows you've got in this festival?
I've got a show, but it's after the festival. I'm not good at dates. So it's... Yeah, it's after the festival. I've fucking back to myself. I've gone the Arts Theatre.
Oh, nice.
I know, that one. So, yeah, fill it. So do that.
Head to Georgie's website is...
Georgie Carroll. Oh, also follow a friend of mine, Rachel Papoulis. She's not really a friend. She backed into my car. And I'd like you all to troll her.
Hey, Ross, you got some shows in the festival?
I do, yes. Starting in half an hour.
There you go.
Down at the main room, down at the town hall there. So let's all go now. You can... So I'm there for the rest of the... every night, except Mondays.
There you go. Go and see Ross's show this year. Wolfie, where can people see
mine's,
you?
Yeah, mine's Circling the Drain. It's at Imperial Hotel. Just a lot of yelling about IKEA hot dogs, really. So there you go.
And Celia, Rosehaven, it's all in the can. When's it going to be on air, do you know?
No, we're in the edit now, so that's all I'm doing. So watch that when it comes out.
All right, can you give it up for all the acts today?
Well done.
You can leave as well. Hey, thanks everyone for coming out. You guys are the absolute best. So my show starts on Tuesday with Ben Lomas. It's called Apparently. If you don't have tickets, get some tickets, especially for the first show. All the others are almost sold out, but the first one, not that well. So Tuesday the 6th, make sure you come, 9:30 at the Imperial. Hey, next week we've got a great lineup. We've got Carl Donnelly, we've got Luke Heggie, we've got Danielle Walker in, and one more, unyet booked. So and then... The final week, we've got Edo and Ben Russell and Cameron James is coming down from Sydney, so it's going to be fun. So make sure you come to those ones. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.